This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And want to remind our listeners, who are always so generous, that today is Giving Tuesday, and you can join Cairo Radio and Treehouse for our 31st year of holiday magic. Today only, every Giving Tuesday donation will be matched until we raise $35,000. But what a way to increase your giving. That's 100% return on investment. So we will match every donation you make today to Treehouse and Holiday Magic. Donate today. Your gift will be doubled. All you have to do is text MAGIC to 98973. That's our usual text line. Text the word MAGIC to 98973 to donate now, and we will double the donation you make to some very needy kids around our region. So we'd love you to do that. All right, to the Fastest 15 we go. There's so much stuff going on in the news. So Mike O'Brien, the Seattle City Councilman, he's now done, but he'll be fine. Don't worry about him. Mike O'Brien, you know, he grew up in Hunts Point, went to Lakeside, went to Duke, has a silver spoon in his mouth, has never wanted or needed for anything in his life. His wife owns a business where they tried to get away with hiring people for no pay until the Dory Monson Show busted them on that because it's illegal to put people to work for no pay. They were stuffing, was it kimchi? They're stuffing kimchi into jars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Mike O'Brien, of course, wouldn't talk to me. So Brandy Cruz worked here at the time. And Brandy got hold of Mike O'Brien and said, you can either schedule an interview with me or I'm going to come sit outside your office and ambush you. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, okay, I'll talk. And yes, he said, they weren't aware of the rules that don't allow you to hire people for no pay. So, which is...
I mean, we even know that rule here at the station where we can't just have interns do...
Do we pay our interns
We now? Do not pay our interns. We... make them get school credit for it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair trade-off.
And it's, exactly. And then there's very strict rules about it.
I worked as an intern for 4 years and didn't make a penny. Between the ages of 17 and 21, I interned for the Everett radio station and then King 5.
And you didn't get school credit.
I didn't get school credit.
Yeah. This has been recent because companies were abusing that. I mean, there were just companies that, well, why hire someone when you can have someone for free?
Sure, yeah. But it was worth it to me because I took full advantage and I made contacts and I learned how to network. And every subsequent job I ever got came out of that first Everett radio station internship I did when I was 17 years old. So I didn't care that I wasn't getting school credit or paid.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to me.
My advice to college students is always to save your internship for last. That's what I did. I came back here, did my internship, and then, yeah, you network and you make all the connections, and that leads to actual work.
And the thing is, and I tell kids this all the time, it is so easy to stand out like a beacon in the night sky.
True.
If you dress well, show up on time, and show just a hunger for doing everything you can, and once you're done, you become a bit of a pest, and you say, what else can I do? Or you start coming up with ideas on your own. And didn't we have an intern that we've hired now on the weekends?
A bunch. No, there's a bunch. I mean, NASA was one of my interns.
Was NASA an intern?
Yes.
NASA
he worked with me.
Yeah, well,
he was an intern.
Yeah, NASA. Well, he worked in the newsroom, and he could not get an internship. And I was like, I cannot believe this guy cannot get an internship. When I met him, he's like the most polite person. He dressed in a suit every day.
Yeah. NASA's going to run the Seattle Seahawks someday. I mean, I truly believe. I think that, you know.
Some aspect of it.
The two producers that I work with, Nicole and NASA, they're just both on and off the court. They're just the finest people I know. And I did not know NASA started as a producer. I knew he worked at 710.
No, he was our newsroom intern.
Okay, yeah. So that's the thing. But if you just, because then we get some. We've had a couple interns who don't, we had one a couple years ago. And he came in wearing sweats. Now, that sounds weird coming from me because I'm wearing sweats right now. But I've been doing this for 40 years.
Wait, I'm trying to figure, because I run the internship program. This wasn't one of my interns.
I don't know.
I don't remember one in
sweats. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. And there was a kid here who wore sweats one day. I remember it vividly because I wanted to go up to him and say, what are you doing? But I believe I was wearing sweats at the time.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, but I never wore jeans. I never, until I was well into my
30s,
maybe 40s.
It goes beyond the dress, though.
Yeah, the last, or one of the interns that I interviewed with was chewing gum the whole time. No gum. No gum during interviews.
But I know dress is just a small part of it, but it's a part of it.
It is.
Especially when, I mean, because that, I can't remember names, but I think
Don't
doing,
say them anyway.
Yes.
Right?
Don't say names anyway.
No, but.
Well, clearly.
No, I think
it
was praise. No, this is a praise. I think he's doing weekends now here. But when he was interning, he would wear a suit and tie every day. And it just stood out to me.
Oh, you're talking about Alec.
Yes.
Yeah, no, okay. But yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
he was one of my interns.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not good with names.
Oh, my goodness.
But that made an impact on me. I noticed that.
Yes, he continues to outdress us all.
Yeah, every day.
Ursula is a great judge of character.
I know it.
Thank you.
I know it. So,
business, yes.
Okay, so anyway, let me get back to Mike O'Brien.
We were
not even
talking
close
about this.
To Fast 15.
No. Well, yeah, we were. I'm into the Mike O'Brien story because he and his wife tried hiring cheap, no-pay labor. Anyway, Mike O'Brien, he did his farewell email to Seattle. And, of course, Ballard is one of his districts, a place that's very near and dear to my heart. And I have seen it just go to hell in a handbasket. Along with much of the rest of this region. But Ballard, in particular, used to be kind of a bucolic, sweet community. And it's just, it can be a madhouse on many, most days. And some of the things that he talked about was, and a listener pointed all of this out. So he had a position created in SDOT called Transportation Coordinator, because he believes kids cannot figure out on their own how to ride a bike or walk to school. So they create all these six-figure, bogus, nonsense, do-nothing jobs. And he puts that out in his farewell email like it's, you know, some accomplishment. And listener Joe sent this to me. He promotes the notion that bus service is racist and we need to enforce transportation equity. And he said, one of our big wins is supporting the implementation of the transportation equity agenda with $300,000 for staff support and implementation. So everything he talks about is how he spent tax money as the neighborhood he was in charge of has gotten worse and worse and worse. Our office secured $2 million for safe bicycle facilities in underinvested neighborhoods in South Seattle. Everything is spend, spend, spend. And that's his legacy. And that's what your mindset is if you have never wanted for one penny on one day of your life. You just think money is the solution to everything because it's been so wondrous in creating a friction-free life since you were a toddler. And it's a good riddance to Mike O'Brien, his farewell email. It's really quite touching. Okay. Oh, I read this hilarious column. Have you seen this Peloton television commercial?
No.
It must be in heavy rotation because about the only live TV I watch are sporting events. And I've watched a fair amount over the four-day weekend, and I must have seen this commercial 20 times. And in it, a young woman who is just stunning. She's just gorgeous. Hot as can be. And she's also rail thin. She's the last person who needs an exercise bike.
And, or maybe that's why.
Well, no, and that's what this column says, is the Peloton people would have come under fire if she had been a little bit overweight. Because her husband gave her the exercise bike for Christmas. So let me play it for you a little bit of the ad.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time riding.
Right. Okay, and then she's recording all these selfie videos, how nervous she is getting on the Peloton bike.
Ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am.
Okay, and she just keeps at it.
It's weird.
She's riding every day. And again, this woman couldn't possibly get any more gorgeous. I'm sorry. I'm very smitten with her in a friendly way. I'm a happily married man. Uh-huh. That's the thing. I can say these things because I'm the most non-threatening man on earth. I don't act on my smittenness.
6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace of Austin. 55.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me.
Okay, and then at the end, after a year of riding her Peloton, she's sitting on the couch with her husband. They're looking with one of their kids. They're looking at the Peloton, and she looks up at him, like how much this has changed her. With this, give me an approving look, hubby.
Cute.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
Okay, and HotAir.com, they wrote, it's headlined "The Freaky Deaky Peloton Christmas Ad." The first reaction everyone has is, why is this guy buying his gorgeous rail-thin wife an exercise bike for Christmas?
Maybe she asked for it.
Does he think this goddess is overweight? No, that's why they cast the actress they did. They knew that if the wife had as much as an ounce of visible fat on her, the takeaway would have been that Peloton is encouraging dudes to pressure their significant others to drop a few. There would have been all-ins at Peloton headquarters to protest a crime against body positivity of that magnitude. Only by casting a woman who obviously didn't need to lose weight could the company semi-plausibly say he gave her the bike for fun and for cardiovascular fitness and for no other reason. Any other interpretation of the ad is unthinkable. Peloton. Because no matter how thin she is, she can stand to lose 10. And he says, the actress's weight isn't the weird part. The weird part is the eagerness with which she shows her gratitude. It's lovely to be grateful for an expensive gift, but she's really grateful and really, really wants her husband to know it. It's not just that she feels compelled to record herself using the bike repeatedly over a span of many months. She looks curiously anxious doing it, even when smiling into the camera. At the end of the clip, when she finally shows him the footage, her eyes are trained on his reaction, seemingly desperate for his approval.
Someone had way too much time.
It is hilarious because I thought all of these things.
No way.
As I was watching this. And then he goes, I won't read the rest of it. There's one line. He said,
it's just unrealistic, though. I mean, to have someone rail thin without an ounce to spare. I mean, that's just unrealistic.
And then the columnist writes, I don't mean to read too much into it.
Oh, yeah.
All I mean is that there is a 1,000% chance this guy is abusive. Oh. So that's the
takeaway. I'm only laughing at the ridiculous takeaway, not
That's the takeaway at hotair.com.
Okay. I'm going to have to watch that ad.
You have to watch it. No, yeah. Can we tweet it out?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, this thing's gone viral. It's tweeted all over the place. I'll tweet it out.
You know what else I tweeted out was I played this clip for you yesterday. Joe Biden This went viral. Joe Biden was talking to a bunch of kids, and they are African-American kids. And so a cartoonist has put this soundbite to cartoon form, and I just pushed that out on Twitter before the Fastest 15. So go to at Dori Monson on Twitter, DoriMonson. But they have now turned the Creepy Joe soundbite into a cartoon.
And by the way, you know, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
He's going to be the next president of the United States. And in the commercial, it shows a kid underwater rubbing his leg hairs. And it's, I mean, who says, and he was working as a lifeguard. He says earlier in the clip that it got hot in the chair where he would sit.
It was just all taken out of context.
No, it's not. What lifeguard has children come up and rub their legs in the pool?
And sit on their laps while they're
watching
their drowning children.
I mean, come on. But I have to tell you, that's on the bad side for Joe Biden. But then I do get kind of fired up. He was at a campaign event last night, and there was a very small crowd. It was a very small room. But one of Joe's staffers tried to get the crowd fired up. And if this doesn't get you on board the Joe bandwagon, I don't know what would.
Get better than that. Come on. Fired up. Fired up. Fired up. Fired up.
Fired up. About 20 people.
Was that at a retirement home? Where was that?
It looks like the age of the people looks like it could and should be a retirement home.
I mean, that's what he's aiming at with this malarkey tour.
Well, yeah, you heard they unveiled his new slogan yesterday. No malarkey. Which would be really cool if this was the
19, millennial.
This was the 1920s. That would be an awesome theme. So anyway, the no malarkey tour continues. How about, and then right before we got on the air, Kamala Harris dropped out of the race, so it's all tightening up, and everything's looking Joe. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, after a very exciting Seahawks game last night, Dave Wyman is going to drop by for some Name That Artist, and we'll talk some football, too. Dave Wyman, coming up next live.
Oh, nice job, Dory.
Nice. Yeah.
The girls go.
That wasn't even two notes.
What kind of girls?
You can say it if you want, Dory.
No. I don't remember.
This is a very politically incorrect song today, I believe.
I thought it was Street Girls.
Hitchhiked away
across the USA.
Let's leave it alone. Dave Wyman is with us. The day after an absolutely thrilling Seahawk victory.
Didn't have to be.
No, but it always is.
Yeah.
Penny in the backfield. Medcalf, far side wide. Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes and said, here you go, serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top 26-17, and they're doing the hula in the end zone, the Seahawks receivers.
I just enjoyed that so much.
Is Rabel, am I biased, or is he like fantastic?
he's the best play-by-play guy in the league.
In the NFL.
I really do believe that.
Well, and I hear them playing it all the time, and that's why last week when I went, yeah, or whatever in the background, I'm like, I got to shut up because, you know, those are awesome sound bites.
Yes.
With Raves.
Yeah. I thought it was so funny that anything that involves moving the hips
is hula.
The hula.
Oh, they're doing hula hoops.
Oh, man. So now you got Seahawks tied for the best record in the entire NFL. And still, the analytics guys say, well, if you look at their point differential, they should be 7-5. Mm. And I just have come to believe that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're winning by 7 like last night or 1 as they've done, or, you know, the rare blowout for them. They're just winning. And it's like they, you know, Russell Wilson said after the game last night that they have, they have a clutch gene.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to believe that it's in their DNA.
Well, and Russell and Pete together, and I think at one point or another, everybody has thought that they were full of it, right?
Yes.
Like, oh, come on. You know, they're just too optimistic and they're, I don't know, what do you call somebody like that?
Too positive.
I mean, and it's...
Pollyannas,
thank you. And my favorite moment, I think, of the entire Pete Carroll era was after the Monday night game against San Francisco, where Pete and Russ are like hugging each other and kind of almost like pulling each other's shirts and hugging each other and running out to the middle of the field. I mean, those two together... There's just something about them that they believe in that stuff, and it's real. And now it's Russell's team, and, you know, everybody believes along with him, you know. And there were some doubters before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's just it's his team, and, yeah, they're going to end up winning in the end, you know. And it's going to be close, but, look, analytics, all that, that's fine. I listened to Paul on the way in, and you guys were talking about the injuries and everything. And mm-hmm. Paul Moyer. And, you know, Paul's right. I mean, they missed Jaron Reed for 6 weeks. They've missed Jadeveon Clowney at different points. They've missed a lot of different players.
They're missing their starting center.
Starting center, yeah. And by the way, Joey Hunt did a fantastic job yesterday. I went back and rewatched that. And for a guy who's not that big, he was moving that big D-line. Here's what the thing I was most excited about. That front seven is one of the best in the league. The Eric Wilson, number 50, he was the one that made that tackle on the flip play when Carson got hurt early on.
Oh, yeah.
He's the least known linebacker. I mean, they've got Anthony Barr and then Eric Kendricks.
And it's a very good team.
Oh, man. Yeah. That front seven is physical, and they punched him in the mouth. They absolutely physically dominated them. And went for 250 yards rushing.
Yeah, yeah. It was really fun. Let me get back to the Russell and Pete thing, because you've inspired a thought in me. So there are combos, like Belichick and Tom Brady. But they've always seemed to have some dynamic tension between the two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not totally in sync. Although their results are greater than any coach quarterback in the history of the game. So you can't fault that. Then you got Sean Payton and Drew Brees in New Orleans. But is there another combo where a coach and quarterback have seemed to be so in sync in life, in attitude, in how they express themselves? Has there ever been? Because I truly can't think of any.
Well, no, and I would say, I guess the question I would ask, was Russell entirely like that when he first came in? And was Pete entirely like that? Or is it that they've just kind of grown together and become this, their bestest buddies?
Yeah. I've got it.
Just like you and me.
I'm opening up my email, because every time I think of a good question for Pete for my Friday interview with him, I have to send myself an email so I'll remember it, because it just vaporizes.
Right.
I will ask him about that when I have him on.
That's
on
a
Friday.
Good idea.
Because I just cannot think of any other coach-player relationship that has been so completely in sync.
Well, another thing you can ask him is, what makes him think that he can say what he said this morning on the air?
Okay, let's get
airwaves.
To that. Let's get to that.
Goodness.
Okay.
What's the matter with Pete?
So here's what Dave Wyman said after the Seahawks called that fake punt in last night's game.
I've been wanting to see Homer all year. Just never thought it would be in a situation like this. Pete Carroll, you've got some stones, my man. Holy smokes.
Okay, so they asked Pete about that when he did his day-after interview on 710, and here was Pete's reaction to what you, Dave Wyman, said last night.
Now, why does it always go to that? It used to be Big Balls Pete.
What
is
it?
Why does it do that? I don't know. Why is that where that goes to? I don't get it.
Can you say that?
What's the matter with Pete?
I think Danny there was a little bit nervous about him saying that.
Come on, coach.
Because of you, he's now working blue, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. I just love Pete. And, like, you know, as far as the players and everything, like, my kids, and I don't know if your daughters feel the same way, like, if they could meet any Seahawk player or anybody, it would be Pete. Just everybody loves Pete.
Yes.
And I do, too. And I wish I could have played for him. You know, I think he would have opened up a different way of looking at things. And, it's just awesome how that is. And this is all, like, corny stuff. But to go along with that is the physicality of what this team. Jaren Reed is such a leader on defense. And they're as good as anybody. They're as good as anybody in this league. So
I
the question has been answered. And right now they're playing the best football, I think, of, you know, they're right up there with Baltimore.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, we got a lot more to talk with Dave Wyman about here.
Oh, this is, I know this guy.
I do, too.
Dang it. Oh, man, I have this album.
Oh, it's, I know it. It's Bruce Hornsby in the Rain.
Yeah.
Good job.
I was going to say Bruce Matthews, but he was a tackle for the Oilers back in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, man. Okay, well, look, hey, like Seahawks, you will come back. I'm sure of that in our next segment.
Oh, you don't mean that. Don't give me that phony crap.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I have the, what kind of gene?
You got a clutch gene going on right now.
I got clutch gene when it comes to name that artist. Okay, our conversation with Dave Wyman will continue as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. That's just the way it is.
Cheap Trick?
No. Come on, Dave.
This one's yours if you can get it, Dave, because I think I'm out.
I'm so terrible at this game. I've gotten worse. You know what I need? I need a pep talk from Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson.
How about from me?
I'm not going to get it from you.
Come on, Dave. You can do it. Who
I
is
don't
this?
Know. Damn it. Who
is this? Say it. Say it.
Do you know?
No. That's my pep talk, though.
I don't know.
Deep Purple. My Woman from Tokyo.
Yeah, I heard that part. Well, I thought he said My Woman from Pokemon.
Okay, Dave.
Big news yesterday at the University of Washington. I was thinking about this, that I just wonder how many people, because it seems like in the pros, Pete Carroll can be a good delegator.
Yeah.
And he has John Schneider to do the player acquisition and all this. But Coach Peterson at the University of Washington, head college coaches, they have to recruit. If you're dealing with five-star recruits, you're dealing with some parents and who have been, from the time their kids were identified as outstanding athletes, and usually in middle school, and then everybody just kisses their butts.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with, oftentimes, horrible parents who feel entitled. And I've started to come to the belief that it's almost an impossible job. It's just year-round, it's 20-hour days, and it's just soul-sucking.
It would be. The recruiting part of it would just be terrible. And look, this goes back 1982. I had Don James, Paul Wiggin, and Terry Donahue in my living room at one point or another, all, you know, having to fly all the way out there, you know, and in Reno, and, you know, not that long of a flight, but I mean, just that part of it has got to be so difficult. And now kids are doing these. Buddy Tevens, who was the head coach at Stanford, he told me one time, I talked to him when it was a long, long time ago, and I asked him about coaching. He goes, you know, the Stanford guys tend to be pretty good. They do what they say. And he told me this story when he was at Florida that he had this hot recruit that was going to sign, and he even invited him to his press conference. And the kid gets up there in a Florida shirt and rips it off, and he's got a Georgia shirt underneath and throws a Georgia hat on and says, I'm going to Georgia. Buddy Tevens had flown, I don't know, a couple, 3 hours to go up for this kid's press conference. And this was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now you have the kids doing all this stuff like they think they're grown-ups. It always looks to me like a little kid beauty pageant. Like it's like these guys that are acting like pros, but they're not. They're just high school players that are a long way
away. High school children.
Yes, they are. They're a long ways away from being beauty queens. You know, so, I mean, it's that part has to be the worst. And that's where I would rather coach in the NFL. I mean, I know you put in long hours and everything and looking at film. And I, you know, when I, my last year in the league, I remember leaving Denver, you know, leaving the parking lot at like 6:30 because I had to have all this treatment and everything because I was getting old.
Yeah.
And their lights would be on. And then you'd see a lot of times you come the next morning at 6:30 and they're still there sleeping on couches. I mean, it's a grind, but to have to go and really kiss these kids' butts for, you know, 9 months or a year, I don't think I could handle it.
I've seen, like, just at the AAU basketball level, how brutal and cutthroat that, you know, people would be. And then you magnify that by thousands when you get, you know, boosters involved and the kind of, you know, television money that's involved. And now they're going to have endorsement money available to these college kids. And I respect Coach Peterson if he said, I can't be that person.
Right.
I respect that. And, you know, and he's handed off to a guy who he says does have the fire to do everything that it's going to take. So, but it's also a shame when you have somebody who does everything the right way and seems to live a set of values that is so respectful. And that is Stevie Wonder.
I was going to say Billy Ocean. you know what? The other thing, I heard you guys talking about this. The UW fans, and you would know this, the fans and just the people around that program, they think they're Alabama. Like, they expect, you know, 10-1 or 11-0 every year. And I think there's a lot of pressure coming that way, too.
Yeah, there is. The Tyees.
Yeah.
The Tyees are exerting some pressure. Wait, it's... sorry to lose Coach Peterson at the UW because he's a good man.
I'm sorry to lose going down 0-3.
But you know what? It was about the first couple, you had a shot.
Now you're just messing with me.
I'm not.
This is so
I'm trying to keep
so
the game
condescending.
Alive. I'm sorry. Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7 on Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Bob, Dave, and Moore. What are you looking at me for? I don't know the name of the show.
ESPN Seattle, and the big lead of two is next.